We're going to start by taking the silence and the time of silence that Alan mentioned to remember not only those affected by the violence in Paris, but all those throughout the world who have been affected by violence, by terrorist attacks, and the displacement that it causes. So we'll take about a minute just to stand and remember. Thank you, and please be seated. I'm having a hard time with this thing on my head, but we will soldier on. So what a gospel reading for this Sunday. What a gospel reading the Sunday following the news about the attacks in Paris. This passage begins with Jesus saying some rather unsettling things to the disciples about the destruction of the temple. And then after he utters these words, he comes up with predictions of confusion, conflict, and natural disaster yet to come. All of these things, Jesus says, are birth pangs. It's at the very end of that passage. Birth pangs of something new that is on their and our horizon. What a gospel reading for this Sunday. When many of us are still feeling at a loss for words, still feeling knocked off balance, still unable to do much more than keep up with the latest news and mourn the losses in the City of Light as we hear more and more detail about them. And so for me, when I feel this both connection and a bit of a disjuncture between the reading assigned for today, I'm encouraged to go into it full on and see what it's about. So let's go to that gospel and see more about what we can learn there, what perspectives we can discover there that might have to do with our lives today, and what, if any, comfort we can find there, both in relationship to these world events and in relationship to the events of our own lives that these world events often evoke. I don't know what came up for you as you saw the newspaper or heard the words, but there was so much about my own life and my own family and my own sense of safety in the public places that came up for me. So the passage. So the context of this is this passage follows directly on the passage we had last Sunday. And if you were here last Sunday or in some other church that abides by the lectionary, it was this, that in the temple, Jesus in this passage has just come out of the temple where only a few moments before he and his disciples had watched as a poor widow dropped two copper coins in the treasury, prompting Jesus to comment that these two small coins were the largest and most impressive contribution of the day, despite others dropping huge amounts publicly in front of others. But as usual, the disciples missed that point. And really, it's easy to miss, isn't it? It requires a leap of imagination to think that her contribution was the largest. What they focus on instead is the large and impressive, what's large and impressive in their own eyes and would be in the eyes of most of us in the world. And so we're told, as Jesus emerges from the temple, one of the disciples invites him to turn around and admire and comment on its size. "Look, teacher," he says, "what large stones, what large buildings," kind of like driving up to this church, by the way, with the beautiful signage. "Wow, it's so beautiful. What large, kind of massive and impressive temple that is." Jesus, however, is unimpressed. Not only does he not admire the temple, he asks the disciples, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. The temple will be destroyed," he tells them, "and this destruction and other chaotic, violent events will," he says, "have a meaning and a purpose beyond themselves. According to Jesus, they will be birth pangs, a new way that God will come into the world, a new way that God will again visit God's own people." And so today, especially in the light of the Paris attacks, and really the memory of many attacks that it evokes, we might ask ourselves, what are the temples in my life, in your life? The religious, political, economic, and social institutions you and I not only long to trust, but we put our trust in. What are those temples for us? What are my own personal temples as well? The places where I've enshrined all my unshakable truths, my strongest convictions, and my most deeply held assumptions about life. What's at stake for me when these temples begin to tumble? What comes up for me when what I thought was secure and protected is not? And finally, what does our faith say in the face of temples that tumble, in the face of religious, political, economic, or social institutions that fail us, in the face of some of our own truths, convictions, and assumptions no longer holding true? What does our faith say when conflict between nations or ideologies break people's lives into little pieces? And it feels like it's sort of the morning after that. So for me, as I think about these things and about today here at St. Matthew's, my beliefs are these: that when things come tumbling down, whether they just do of their own accord, they do because they're worn out, or they do because somebody brings them down, when things come tumbling down, when lives are broken apart, the Christian response is this: to stand in solidarity with those whose lives have been upended. We are to pray for those who have experienced loss. We are to grieve with those who grieve. We are to direct our energy towards those who suffer. And we are to do this not only for them, but for us when these things happen to us. In doing these things, what we're doing is enacting the love of God in Christ that never gives up, that never says uncle, that never thinks anything but love will rule the day, even when it seems like it won't, even when it seems like love is a long ago and far away, an antique notion. No. What these actions say is love continues. We are still about love. And in and around and through this, the Christian perspective ultimately also has something to do with believing and trusting that after destruction occurs, a new thing will come into being. An unexpected new thing will rise up. Now, this has nothing to do with attributing that motivation to those who bring people down. It has to do with the conviction that out of the ashes, God is always bringing a new world. That's how God acts. That's how our God works. Out of the ashes, God brings a new thing into being. And my belief is, and this is where I come back to St. Matthew's, is that we actually need communities to help us hold these perspectives. We need a community that has a sort of collective energy and power to carry us when we don't have the power to carry ourselves, when our temples have tumbled. And we need a community that can focus our attention on the care for a world in which violence happens and in which things come crashing down. We need a community, or at least I need a community for that. I'm not very good all on my own. I don't remember all on my own. Maybe you do, I don't. So we need that. We also need a community that tells and retells the story of Jesus, God's way of saying yes to this life with all of its problems, and even to the fact of death itself, trusting that suffering and death, as unacceptable as it is, and it is unacceptable, that as unacceptable as it is, that it will somehow, in God's economy, open some path that will lead to life. And of course, this is why we do all this talk at this time of year, and I know you're in the midst of it, and many parishes are, about the importance of all of us giving our time, talent, and treasure to parish communities. It isn't just because it's nice to do that. It's because we actually need parish communities to be the children of God that we are called to be. At the center of why we give to our parishes is that they are communities, communities that sustain us, that remind us, at times that challenge us, to identify with those who suffer in the world, in our midst or across the world, and to see and ultimately embrace and assist those who are having their lives tumble, their temples tumble, that it can be ultimately the context of God remaking and recreating everything. And God does this one stone at a time, or even one broken piece of a stone at a time. And so I want to end with a story about broken pieces and God's way of remaking in God's time. It's odd for me to be telling this story so close to such a, you know, an awful, heinous event. But it was a story that meant quite a lot to me when some of my temples tumbled. And you're looking at a person who's had quite a few temples tumbled in her life. So this was a story told to me by a mentor a long time ago, who told it in a sermon he was preaching that Sunday. It's really ultimately a story about God as mother, because the central character is a mother here. God is the one who recreates the world when things change, when temples tumble, and when life crashes. One day, a child was walking down the hall of an elementary school. School was over for the day, and in his hands he held a small, brightly colored ceramic bowl, one he had made himself during art class, of course, for his mother. Now, of course, this was a very special bowl, handmade, slightly misshapen, and garishly decorated, the kind of thing every parent prizes and spends years trying to figure out what to do with. You may have one in your home. I have a few. The boy was excited to find his mother and give her what he had made, and so he began to run. As he did this, he dropped the bowl and broke it into 1,000 pieces. He began to cry, and everyone tried to comfort him, and these were some of the things that were said to him. "It was just a bowl," someone said. "You can always make another one." But the boy was inconsolable, rightly so, I would say. Finally, his mother did arrive. As she took in what happened, she simply put her arms around him and let him have his cry. And this was a boy who needed to cry a long time. Then after a while, she said this, "Let's pick up all the pieces. We'll take them home. Put them together and see what new thing we can make out of them." It is a pleasure to be with you on this Sunday, and I wish you a kind of prayerful Sunday as we let news sink in and as we be the community that nurtures this kind of perspective. Amen. Thank you.